Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. Everyone asks life's big questions. What's rare are authentically new and worthy answers. Our guest, Frederick Faray, offers both. He's a world-renowned philosopher with a remarkable command of all of Western philosophy. After decades teaching and publishing widely on philosophy, technology, and ethics, Dr. Faray's crowning achievement is his own fully articulated philosophy. He grounds it in what he calls Kalogenesis, Greek for making beauty. Kalogenesis is so rigorous, relevant, and bold, it can both guide our present and future ideas and actions and take on the ultimate big question.
You were asking, what's the meaning of life? Well, the meaning of life is finding beauty in the face of death. Finitude. It's creating and leaving value, a beauty, in the face of death. And the leaving of it is because it's going to be picked up by the next generation of beauty creators and not ever being entirely comfortable. I think that comfort is one of the enemies of Kalogenesis.
Frederick Faray is the world's leading constructive postmodern philosopher. He's also research professor emeritus of philosophy at the University of Georgia and associate fellow at Dickinson College. He taught both places, as well as Mount Holyoke College and Vanderbilt University. Dr. Faray's expansive body of work includes his extraordinary culminating trilogy, Being and Value, Knowing and Value, and Living and Value. In addition, Dr. Faray is also a musician, an actor, and a pilot who lives in both the U.S. and Europe. Bill Russell and I deeply admire Dr. Faray and his ideas, his expansive ecological approach to being, knowing, and living, and especially the joy with which he embraces life. It is our joy to engage with Frederick Faray in the beginning of this infinite conversation. Frederick Faray, I had the occasion recently to go back to one of my very favorite books from my childhood, and I reread it, and it was, when I was reading it as a kid, it was kind of a sleeper, and I will tell you what it was. And nobody really knew about it. It had been written in the 19th century. Mm. And so when I was reading it, it was a big secret kind of thing, and suddenly it came back as a big deal. Well, the reason that I bring it up, it's called The Secret Garden.
Oh.
And I bring it up because in rereading this, I was really stunned at how important this book had been to me, how many things it had informed about the world and about politics, oddly enough. It's where I first learned about colonialism. Mm. Book wasn't written for children, but children certainly were part of it. It got me thinking about how philosophy ends up in stories, ends up in books that you read to or you read as a kid. You don't really think about how important it is, and yet it is so fundamental to everything. Isn't that storytelling function, isn't that what philosophy does within a culture? Isn't that the grounding?
Oh, I would hope so. I mean, I really think that would be great. I'm not sure that it is right now, these days, because philosophers tend to do analytical stuff, sort of drawn out of mathematics. And I wish so much that we could bring philosophy back to that kind of a role that you talk about.
Well, I know that your father was famous for being a Whiteheadian, as it were, and Whitehead was known for the Mathematica.
Well, Principia Mathematica. He and Bertrand Russell sort of invented this stuff.
Early on in his career. Right. In fact, I guess he made his mark in that book.
Is it that kind of...
founded symbolic logic.
Is that the kind of analytical you're talking about when you say philosophers do that now?
That's what happened to philosophy in the early Whitehead and Russell. But then Whitehead, later in his career, studied science as such, and his mathematics allowed him to understand Einstein. And then he thought Einstein hadn't gone far enough, so he wrote a philosophy of nature that would interpret things without going through Einstein. They would have the principles of relativity and all the rest of it. And his Process and Reality book is very largely a restatement of what the universe ought to look like in more storytelling form.
Well, that gets us back to where I was thinking about you in terms of The Secret Garden.
Ah.
Some of why The Secret Garden is important to me is I think it's really important to say that philosophy isn't out there and mean and ugly and something you've got to get through to get a degree of something or other, that it's really relevant, it's important, and you're taking it with this constructive postmodern to a place we need it to be.
Thank you, Paula. I was thinking of myself as poor, crippled Colin.
You've read The Secret Garden.
When I was a boy, I also read it. That's right. Maybe I should be the shepherd boy instead.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But anyway, yes, I think that the way in which philosophy really counts is when it infiltrates the culture to the extent that it's what people think without remembering that they're thinking. And unfortunately, in the modern world, a lot of the Cartesian thought, reductionism, René Descartes, reductionism, materialism, and so on, became so much part of the story that people told each other that everything was dead and unconscious, that everything was billiard balls hitting each other, and the only things that really caused anything else was the one billiard ball bouncing off the other. So if you knew the angular momentum and all the rest, you could predict everything.
But it's before the three-body problem. Yeah. And the three-body problem says you can't know the answer.
Hallelujah. Isn't that liberating?
Why is it that nobody talks about the three-body problem in that context? Because it seems so such a
elementary
dilemma.
Yeah.
Elementary, yes. It's called elementary physics.
Well, I guess it's because it doesn't fit the story. I mean, they're so taken up with the prior belief that they know what things are like, that if something doesn't fit, they don't think about it or talk about it.
Philosophy is important both to the good and to the bad. Let's go back to that when we return in just a moment with Frederick Furet. We hope that you'll be with us too.